We don't even have to say episode one of the two-parter. We just said part of the two-parter. Are we rolling right now? We'll cut this part out.
Are we rolling right now?
Oh, hold on.
Oh, okay.
Should we cut this part out?
Nah, leave it in there.
Fuck it.
All right. We're breaking down the third, fourth wall, the fifth wall, fifth dimension, you know, whatever the hell we're talking about.
Here we are deciding what we're going to talk about literally the second before we start.
No scripts here. Speaking of the original liberals, cheers, my brother.
Here we are.
Why are we calling ourselves the liberals?
Well, we are reclaiming the name liberal from the neo-left one episode at a time.
It's coming back our way. We can feel it.
Yep.
I can feel it growing. I can feel the movement growing, and you're part of it. We thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Well, cheers, my man. How was your day today?
It was about the same as really any other day.
I went
to work. I came home. That was it, man.
Yeah. Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, until now. So now I'm doing a podcast, and that's always...
That's always good.
It is always good.
Always good, man. Yep. Well, it's always good to be here with you. It's always good to be here with you. What do you want to talk about tonight, my friend?
So we're going to do a two-part series. One part where we destroy the Democrats, and another part where we destroy the Republicans. So
fuck them both.
Don't
really.
Don't feed the animals. You've seen the shirt that don't feed the animals. It's got a elephant and a donkey.
Oh, I haven't seen that shirt.
It's on Libertarian Country.
Is it?
Yeah.
Libertarian Country. Cheers. Yeah. This is the second time we've shouted you out.
Maybe one day you'll sponsor us. Who knows?
Well, I've always thought about the don't feed the bears sign at the park.
Mm-hmm.
Because they say that if you feed the bears, they forget how to hunt, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that the old saying?
Yeah, something like that.
And then they become dependent on humans for food. And then if you stop giving them food, they get angry and start eating humans.
Yeah, that's not good.
It also describes
same reason
welfare recipients.
Yeah, it really does.
Doesn't
very
it?
Interesting.
Speaking of Democrats.
They love welfare.
Gotta love the welfare for those votes.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a hard place to start on tearing apart Democrats for a night.
Yeah, it really is, man. It's tearing apart Democrats is going to be easy. Tearing apart Republicans is going to be easy, too, but... So let's go through all the problems I think we should talk about the modern Democrat Party. We can talk a little bit about, the past Democrat Party too, but, everything that's wrong with the modern Democrat Party is both their philosophy and their actions. The actions are absolutely atrocious. But the philosophy's wrong too. I hate buzzwords. I really do. But, the tax and spend is what they used to say when I was a kid. Tax and spend. But, that's definitely... They want to take your money and then spend it on nothing. I know we've covered this in a previous podcast, but, as libertarians, I don't want to speak for Ben, but as a libertarian, I used to say this a lot more than I do. I used to say I agree with Democrats on social issues. That's hard to get behind anymore, too, because they've gone so far extreme on a lot of those social issues that I used to say that I agree with them on. But I believe that the Democrat Party is legitimately attempting to destroy this country. From the inside out, they're doing it by any means necessary. They've got literally no morals left. They're no longer the party of the working class that they used to claim to be. They did have some claim on that. I think that's totally gone. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I think intuitively that feels right in a lot of ways. I think it's good to question. And dig deeper into that as to, and maybe try to poke holes in that a little bit from my side of things. Because I don't think anybody feels that they themselves are evil.
No.
I don't, and I've always felt like evil is like the embodiment of destructiveness, whether it be self-destructiveness or outward destructiveness, or just where good is a creative force, evil's a destructive force, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and nobody ever thinks that they themselves are evil, especially an entire political party.
No, even when actively destroying something.
I mean, do you think that, I'm not calling them Nazis, but I do want to ask, do you think the Nazi party believed that they themselves were evil, or do you feel like they were justified in their actions?
Well, no and no.
You don't think that they felt like they were evil?
No, I don't know. They did. Of course they didn't feel like they were evil. They thought they were doing something good. Okay. What they were doing was something horrifying. But the top brass in the Nazi mm-hmm. party mm-hmm. did believe that what they were doing was the right thing.
Without going on a tangent, because I don't want to make this about the Nazis. I want to keep this about the Democrats and my questioning. Well, and why you say that, and I do agree with you, essentially.
Yeah.
But just to, why do you feel like they got to this point where they just maybe in a similar way, they feel completely justified in doing what they're doing and saying what they're saying, thinking that they're on the right path.
Mm-hmm.
How did they get so far off of that, in your opinion?
They've been corrupted by power.
Corrupted by power.
Yeah, I think it's that simple. They've been corrupted by power. They feel the only way to... I think they see the noose tightening, so to speak.
The noose tightening on who?
On themselves.
On themselves, okay.
I think that people... This country is definitely center-right. Most people do not agree with the basis of their platform. And I think that they've realized that they can't, maybe they can right this second, but they're going to stop being able to win elections with the old-fashioned ballot box process.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they've gone to this, prosecution of Donald Trump, persecution of Donald Trump, really, like, trying to remove the man from the bat. I mean, Donald Trump's brought it to the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
He's really made them... They've showed their true colors because of him. But that's all a quest for power, because the further the man goes up in the polls, the more they try, like, to beat him illegitimately. What they really want to do is throw him in prison so that nobody...
I agree with all of that. But what I search for is the why is it like that? And if I could enter something into the why, so I think other people watching us could understand, because I think that's the hard part of getting the translation across. I think you and I feel like that's objectively true.
Yeah.
But the person watching us right now may not also feel that way.
Sure.
And would want to know why we feel that way.
Okay.
So I think that's super important. And if I could add anything to that, it would be this. Think about the nature of people who are kind of anti-capitalism. The reason that I believe that they're anti-capitalism is because they don't feel fit for competition.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, there's somewhere I'm going with this.
Okay.
If you grow up and you don't feel fit for competition against others, and you still need to, you have these survival instincts, and you still need to survive, you still need to get by, and you want to, the first thing you do is put yourself in a group of people like yourself rather than a strong individual.
Mm-hmm.
You'd rather go into a collectivist, socialist mindset.
Yeah.
Capitalism is essentially the essence of economic, not only liberty, but competition, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you would go into an anti-capitalistic...
If you don't feel that you can...
Right. If you don't like competition, you're going to see capitalism as unnecessary and evil, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the why. But the other thing that happens when you don't feel fit to fight is you see the rules as your own death knell, and you can't live by those. So any rules that are presented before you, especially if you get into power, they're more merely suggestions. Because if you really played by those rules, you'd die.
Yeah.
In your own self-empowerment.
Interesting.
So those are the reasons why Democrats want to have different sets of rules for their enemies and then whatever rules they want for themselves.
I think you struck on something with the disregard for competition, the not wanting to, not feeling like you have the ability to compete.
And that's why you would mess with the ballot boxes and do it with the mindset that it's the greater good. I have no problem undermining this because I'm really saving the Republic.
Sure. They're saving their version of the Republic.
What they believe. They believe they are. But all they're doing is undermining the Republic by doing
that. You've got to separate the brass from the people, the standard voters, too. But I think you struck on something as far as the not feeling like they're fit to compete. I think that that's something that's more of an affliction of the standard Democrat voter.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're convinced of that by the brass of the Democrat Party, the DNC, whoever the hell is actually running Joe Biden.
The people who have capitalized on realizing there's a whole base of people that can be manipulated this way.
You tell them that they can't compete. You tell them the rules are unfair. And then they'll support you trying to overthrow that system by any means necessary.
Yes.
But the people in the top brass are doing it, in my opinion, as nothing more than a power grab. It's nothing more than, than a medieval king mm-hmm. trying to force another one off of the throne. But it's
Game of Thrones.
In the modern sense, they've disregarded all the rules. They're playing within the system in a certain sense by convincing as many people as they can that those people are not fit to compete. You are disadvantaged
mm-hmm.
based on...
You are a minority.
Yeah, they tell you.
You're a minority. The rules that have been set mm-hmm. before you...
Are unfair.
Are unfair. And we must have special privileges for you as a disenfranchised person of color, of female, transgender, gay.
Whatever they come up with.
Whatever they come up with for why you can't play by the rules.
And the disclaimer from me, anyway, is that I believe that it is unfair in a lot of ways to a lot of those groups of people.
Mm-hmm.
It absolutely is.
What is unfair? Because I'm not sure I agree with you.
I think there are certain... I think we touched on this a little bit in the last episode. I do believe white privilege exists.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain advantages to being a white man.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt in my mind about that. But that doesn't mean that because of that, that you should take people who don't fall into that group, tell them that there's no way they can ever win.
Mm-hmm.
The only way you can ever win is to vote for people who will take from the people who have that privilege and mm-hmm. give it to the people who don't.
And cheat and lie and steal because it's all for the greater good.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go. No. I was done. I finished my thought.
Okay. It's to me, that is the why behind everything that you asserted early on mm-hmm. in our discussion.
Yeah.
That's why they have no conscience
mm-hmm.
about this, is because they literally feel like they're fighting for their lives.
Yeah.
That's why you see the screaming children at colleges, oh my God, in 2016, I can't believe Donald Trump. I can't go to school today. They literally see this as life or death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do.
And they will fight and scratch and claw and cheat in order to, because...
And we had 4 years of Donald Trump, and the world did not blow up.
And everything was fine.
Yeah,
but
it was better.
They were convinced that it was going to go back to the Dark Ages, mm-hmm. and the Pope would be running the country again after Donald Trump. And
they were going to reopen the concentration camps.
All Nazis. Well,
and Joe Biden himself said that Donald Trump was going to put the black people back in chains.
Wow.
Joe Biden said it.
Wow.
Said they're going to put y'all back in chains.
And never forget, we did talk, we briefly mentioned Nazis earlier. Please, if you didn't know, Nazi literally stands for National Socialism.
It does.
Collectivism is our enemy.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Collectivism in all forms is the most rudimentary, the most rude form of ignorance, in my opinion.
Agreed. And there's lots of different kinds of collectivism. Nazism is one of them. Fascism is a type of collectivism.
Mm-hmm.
Communism also is one of those. Is a far left ideology. Sure. One of them is a far right ideology. They're both awful.
Yeah.
They both have historically been pitted against one another, but so they're both collectivism.
We may be railing against Democrats tonight,
mm-hmm.
but really, we are against collectivism.
Yeah, 100%. That's
okay. And I think one party embodies collectivism more strongly than the other, and it happens to be the Democrats.
Agreed.
But the other party in our two-wing system that's really run by the same thing
mm-hmm.
the other party is plenty of collectivist tendencies on their own too. They just happen to see God as higher than country rather than country as God.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what I mean by that, I mean, think about any nation that anybody who thinks that a country, a nation, a government should be able to dictate and know every single thing about you and see everything, and they're going to love you and take care of you. But if you go against the rules, you're going to go to, instead of hell, you'll go to prison and you'll be getting given free shit. There's a reason that being educated and having a job and a free housing and no income looks, also describes both jail and communism.
Yeah.
Okay. It really does. With government control, and then there's government agents around and they're keeping control of what's going on. There's a reason that describes both communism, which is the end form of socialism, right?
Yep.
Because socialism is just the intermediary bridge between a free society and a totalitarian society, right?
Yep.
Because when there's no property left for any of us as individuals, and the state owns everything, which is essentially communism, but we all have a share in that you know, that system, right? And we all work and we all get the same, etc. When the government has that much control, it becomes a totalitarian state.
Yep. I'd say communism can't exist without totalitarianism. It's part of real,
but communism at its own, the way it looks on the surface, is not a pretty sight.
No.
So it has to be a transition period.
Yeah.
You can't just say to people, hey, let's go to communism.
and Marx wrote about that.
And Marx wrote about that.
And, you know, how many times have you heard people say, oh, communism looks great on paper, it just doesn't look good in real life? I've heard that a million times in my life. I've always thought that was the stupidest fucking thing somebody could say. No, it doesn't look good on paper either.
Sure.
It's, you know, it looks like a society that kills off the upper, you know, the bourgeoisie. Takes property away from people and then works toward this imaginary, you know, egalitarian society that is not even possible. So, yeah, no, it doesn't look good on paper. It looks bad on paper. You know, as long as we're talking about Democrats, there are many, many Democrats who openly support communism, you know. That's what the party's going, you know, moving toward it.
Well, that's because, you know, you can't just say, I love communism. There has to be a transition period.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going through right now. And I think the party that displays most of those tendencies is who we're talking about tonight.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, did you hear Biden during the State of the Union address talk about, we're going to make the rich finally pay their fair share?
Right.
What is the rich's fair share?
Right.
I don't know, because right now they pay 99% of the taxes.
Yeah.
So what is their fair share? If you were to tax half of their money, would that be their fair share? What about three quarters? If you take somebody who has, you know, who makes $1 billion a year and you tax $750 million of that away from them, they're still going to make $250 million a year, and somebody's still going to be shouting about how this person, you know, why is it fair that this person makes $250 million a year? So is it fair? What if you take 7/8 of their income? You know, what if you, you know, and what you're getting toward, you know, what if you just dig a ditch and shoot them in the back of the head and give their money to, would that be enough?
Anybody who's that arbitrary, it should be disregarded, first of all.
But the Democrat Party is who I'm talking about.
That's what I mean. Disregarded the Democrat Party for stances like that.
Yeah, the fair share.
Because it's super arbitrary. And it doesn't understand how dinner got put on the plate, on the table at home.
Yep.
Because you got to understand that the people who are making $1 billion and doing it in a free market economy are the people providing either a service or a product to millions or billions of people that those people feel like is so valuable to them that they'll pay their money for it.
Yeah.
Voluntarily.
Mm-hmm.
So like a Jeff Bezos, right?
Sure.
He's created an incredible system to improve the United States and mankind for what he does through Amazon. And he's seen the reward because he's helped billions of people get what they want. So not only has he done that for example. He should pay his fair share. Well, if he pays his fair share according to Democrat policy or Democrat philosophy, how many people lose their jobs?
Lots.
Because he employs, I don't know how many people, but I feel like I wouldn't be in left field by saying he might employ 500,000 people. Yeah,
who knows what the number
is. I don't know what the number is.
I'm sure there's a number.
Think about all those people who are getting gainful employment, job experience, pay, benefits, and their families are being fed because of Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
He should pay zero taxes. Look at what he's done for the country.
I'd be fine with that.
Look at what he's done to help you. Look at what he's done to help you. He should be paying zero taxes. We should be thanking a lot of our rich people who come to the United States to start businesses.
Or who are born in the United States to start businesses.
You know, the Elon Musk of the world who came here, I guess, through family, or I don't know how it started. I know his dad was a jewel miner in South Africa or something like that. So he had a head start. Okay,
boy,
fine.
Do they hate him, too.
But you know what? He came here to the States because he wanted to make the world a better place.
Yeah.
And he's not paying his fair share while he's helping
people. Even if he didn't want to make the world a better place, even if he did it all for himself, he made the world a better place in the process, and that's the beauty of capitalism. It's good for the person that makes the money, and it's good for everybody else, too.
Because it's all voluntary.
Yeah.
Because people are voluntarily saying, what you are providing, I voluntarily want that. I'll give you my money for it. Because it's that valuable to me as an individual.
And the point of all
this... Everybody's getting what they want.
The point of all this is that Democrats are outwardly anti-capitalist.
Right. Exactly.
Outwardly anti-capitalist.
And how does that affect the nation?
Well, it doesn't help the economy at all.
No,
it puts us into a slow death spiral, I think.
Yeah, isn't that the ultimate? Like you were talking about the ultimate end game to being destroying the country from within, right?
Yeah.
Now we understand the why.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's super important to know because it's one thing to say that about someone, but then demonstrate. Okay, here's the conceptual path to get there,
I mean. Yeah, they also want to destroy the country socially too.
Okay,
I think that's the reason that they pretend, because I don't think that the Democrat Party gives a shit about black people or gay people or Mexican people or whoever. Transgenders. I really don't think that they care about those people as people. As collectivists don't care about any people.
They don't care about anybody as an individual. No, exactly.
But they're always. Nothing's ever good enough. There always has to be a victim class.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, it was, gay marriage was the big social issue. Which I was always pro-gay marriage. I could never possibly conceive why somebody would care, even for like fundamentalist religious reasons, why two other people who live not anywhere besides your house that you pay for.
Right.
I've never understood why anybody would have a problem with that. But it seemed like that problem was solved with, I don't remember the Supreme Court case or the ruling, but, per the Supreme Court, now, as of whatever year it was, gay marriage is legal in every single state. To me, that's a win.
For sure.
It would be a bigger win if the government, and I know we've said this on a different podcast, also didn't sanction marriage
at all.
It's
all right to parrot ourselves. Yeah, that's good, man.
Yeah, we'll do that sometimes.
Keep reinforcing the good stuff. Yep. Bring it up over and over again. That's a good thing.
No doubt. But now they've gotten to this, the liberals with their, transgenders in sports is a big one. Like they've gotten to where, and I don't know how much of this is actual official platform of the Democrat Party. I know that they all, for the most part, they are required to support this kind of stuff outwardly. But when a man becomes a woman and then competes in a female sport.
Mm-hmm.
And wins. That's insanity. Like that's not That's not fair. That's not...
So, if they can
that's
make...
That's total insanity.
A aspiring totalitarian dictatorship class knows that if they can convince you to believe a... If you can believe ridiculous things, if they can make you forget about your critical thinking side of your brain and literally go with the party platform, no matter how lunatic
they do it by telling you if you say otherwise, if
they can make you believe absurdities, they can also make you commit atrocities.
Yeah,
that's maybe that's the way I was trying to say it.
That's a fact too.
And that's how it's been done for a long, 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 long time. Long before us.
Yeah.
Long before this nation.
You see that all over the world right now. People who believe absurdities commit atrocities.
Absolutely. And I think that's just a natural part of the aspiring ruling class.
Yeah.
Because what we have here is not necessarily anti-competition. In the sense that they don't want to compete.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't think they can compete within the rules.
Yeah.
So they found a new way to get around the rules. And then you evolve into communism, which can also accurately be called state capitalism. Where we're the product.
Yeah.
At that, and they're capitalizing upon us as the product and selling us off. And they're profiting from us.
It's crazy.
So that's the, I don't want to call it the unified field theory of it, okay?
I like
that. But that's really how it works.
Yeah.
So they just found a new set of rules that you have to go kind of give them credit for, first of all, because it's working.
Yeah.
All right? It's infuriating to half the country who's kept their brains inside, their minds inside of their head.
I wouldn't give half the country that much credit.
No, that's true. That's okay. I wouldn't either. I guess okay. I shouldn't either, no. But at the same time, it's working.
Mm-hmm.
It's working.
Yeah.
They've convinced big tech companies to toe a very, very liberal, politically correct line.
Censorship. Just
censorship.
Anybody that doesn't follow the party.
They don't believe in the Second Amendment.
No.
They don't believe in the First Amendment. I mean,
they don't believe in any of the amendments. They don't believe in the Constitution.
Right, right. They call it a living document, which is a nice way of saying, fuck that document, we're going to change it.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
It's bullshit.
It's a living document in the sense that that you can actually amend it. In that sense, sure. But there's rules to amend it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they believe that when they say a living document, they believe that a judge can interpret it any damn way they want to, which is insane. It's very cut and dry.
It's very cut and dry. And when they can't change it within the rules that we have in place, no problem. We'll find a way around it.
Yep.
So let's find a bunch of judges and put them in circuit courts that are activist, politicized judges.
Mm-hmm.
And get them appointed there, and then it doesn't matter what the law really is, because all that matters is what control we have over them and how they'll interpret it.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, that's a way of getting around those rules.
And it's so, the Second Amendment's a great example. The right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
It couldn't be any more simple.
Keep, meaning keep, and bear, meaning carry. Mm-hmm. You know, South Carolina just passed constitutional carry. Did you know that?
Oh, I know. Isn't that great?
Yep. Yeah. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, and I think we're the 26th or 27th. It's now the majority of the country.
Sure. Is
constitutional carry. But how can you interpret that amendment any other way? And if you are against the right to keep and bear arms, then you, by definition, just simply don't care about that document or what it says. Your agenda is more important. I know a lot of people are scared of guns, people who've never been around guns. I know that. I understand why. You turn on the TV, you see horrible things happening. It's easy for somebody who hasn't grown up around guns, doesn't own guns, to look at that and immediately demonize the gun. I don't want to make this a gun control episode, but
It's part of the discussion.
Yeah, it's easy to see how somebody might have that point of view, but if
they plan on taking control over you, they certainly don't want you to have a gun when they're doing it.
No, definitely not. Okay. A gun is power in a lot of ways. And
there's
and
a reason.
Their entire.
There's a reason it's the Second Amendment.
Yeah. The Democrats.
It's not the 17th.
No.
All right. It's right there in the beginning because we knew how important that one is.
I believe that the party, the Democrat Party's, one of their primary goals is stripping power from people in any way they can, whether it's speech, whether it's press, whether it's bare arms.
Well, it's because the less power we have, the more power they have.
Exactly.
And, you know, and I think they might really believe they're doing the right thing all along the way, which, you know.
I think their voters believe that they're doing the right thing. I absolutely do not. The right thing in their. It depends on what you think. I guess we talked about this earlier. I guess everybody probably believes that they are personally doing the right thing, but I think that what they think is the right thing is to destroy the system that we have.
The philosophy that I think most neoliberally minded people ascribe to is something called moral relativism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are you familiar with the term?
Maybe, but refresh me.
It's really the ends justify the means.
Okay.
No matter how you get there, as long as it's the right outcome,
yeah,
it doesn't matter how you got there.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's very opposite from the other side of things, where their morals guide their character, and they have to stay within a certain moral framework and rules.
Mm-hmm.
That really it's the ends justify the means. Is that, you know, if they're afraid of guns and they think guns are bad because people get shot by them. And they're dangerous, and they're scared of them, is fear-based thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And you got to realize, and this is proven in studies, too. Please look this up behind me. I promise you'll find this the case. One of the major differences between liberal people and conservative people is the structure of their brain in a portion called the amygdala. Okay?
Okay.
The amygdala, and liberal scientists have found this to be the case, and what the liberal scientists have said is, oh, that's why they're so irrational, those conservatives, because the amygdala is the fear center of the brain. But that's not really true. That's just how the academics presented it.
Yeah.
What the amygdala really does is it triggers the fear center of the brain. However, it is actually the threat assessment center.
Interesting.
Of the brain. So the gun is this problem.
Yeah.
Not the bad people holding guns and doing bad things. Mm-hmm. The gun itself is a problem because if that goes away, everything will be fine.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a problem with their amygdala.
Hmm.
The amygdala makes it impossible to figure out what threat is real and where you should be siding with things. If it's not operating optimally, functionally. So you see a political party that sides with the criminals over the police.
Yeah. Which,
because the amygdala is not realizing the threat assessment.
And to be fair, I don't always side with the police.
Neither do I. Of course, because it's state.
Sometimes the criminals. Criminality is always wrong, but if if a police officer shoots a criminal who's running away from him, the police officer's wrong in that instance, mm-hmm. not the criminal. But yes, the Democrat Party sides with criminals on a regular basis.
Whole Floyd thing.
Yeah.
Okay. A guy who was a terrible human being has been made into a Jesus-type martyr.
However, in my opinion, the cop who killed him,
they're right
was
on that.
Rightfully sentenced to the rest of his life in prison.
Agreed.
But the man's not a martyr.
The man should not be celebrated.
No.
Don't get me wrong. Should he be?
And Derek Chauvin shouldn't have put his knee on his neck.
Right. Agreed. 100%.
Yeah. And those two things to me are both obvious.
They're both concurrently true. But the amygdala, being understimulated,
mm-hmm.
only sees one side of it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And there's a...
So it's not this...
So what you end up with is this division in these two groups of people who uh-huh. will fight to the death over, you know, their side of that argument. And when all you have to do is take a step back and look at the objective reality of what happened, and you could do this for a lot of other cases.
Yeah.
it's just, it's crazy. It really is. It's nuts.
Well, you know, it's, and you know, another thing too, and the reason you see them, the Democrats, a lot of liberals, neoliberals, siding with what seems like our enemies, right? Do you ever notice this? Like state, like threats to the United States, they can almost empathize with them.
Yeah, they do it all the time.
Do you know why they do that?
Like Hamas, for example.
Right, exactly. Do you know why they do that? It's because of the understimulated amygdala thinking that our warriors, the people they're competing against in our society on an evolutionary level, are conservatives, they're enemies, that those people are a greater threat than Hamas.
Yeah.
So in the Democrat wet dream, Hamas would come in and cull our warriors.
Yeah, I think they would, in theory, love that.
They would love that, okay? And that's the motivation for siding with our enemy, because our enemy is really the enemy of their enemy.
Yeah.
And that's the way that they even...
It's interesting that they hate Russia so much, though. The Democrats hate Russia.
Let's analyze that. Tell me what you think.
I think that the reason... Part of the reason is I think they still in the back of their minds believe he's in bed with Donald Trump.
Okay.
Putin, I mean.
Well, they've been convinced of that, haven't they?
It's tough to figure out.
How long were they programmed on the Russia collusion thing?
Well, that
how many years?
That started in what, 20? They started talking about it in 2016. So it's 2024 now. We're talking about eight years of Russia collusion, Russia collusion, Russia collusion. It's all been shown to be bullshit, but...
Well, yeah, anybody who's actually looked into it without bias has come to realize that that's purely a fictional tale. It was purely psychological operations against a whole population of people, right?
Right.
But there's still a bunch of people that still think it's real.
Yeah. Yeah, because no, they don't look into it for themselves.
Right.
And, you know, they just read memes and...
But they can't because they're too afraid.
Tweets, yeah.
They're too afraid to think for themselves, because if they do, it's existentially scary.
Yeah.
And that's the amygdala being understimulated.
But
and
I mean...
That's the synopsis of the freaking Democrat voter party. You know, the party of the voting base. They essentially want to be told what to think and do, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Boy, we're tearing them... You asshole now, aren't we?
I guess. But it is interesting that, you know, that particular enemy, they're gung-ho. They're ready to send them up a billion, kajillion, like however much money they can possibly print and tax, they will send to Ukraine.
Why did the Democrats...
get destroyed, because that's a war's a stalemate, and Russia's going to win it eventually. But the Democrat and not just the Democrats, you know, our wonderful South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham and a bunch of other Republicans included,
scumbag,
that we'll get into in the next episode, also want to continue to send them my fucking money so that it can get destroyed in a stalemate war where hundreds of thousands of people are getting killed and Russia's going to eventually win. They're going to. You know, everybody thought that Russia was going to win it the first weekend.
Right.
And at that point, like, I was all for helping Ukraine, so, but, like, at this point...
Do you feel like the Democrats and the Republicans both agree on that one issue? About sending all that aid over?
That and banning TikTok are the two issues
those, that they agree there. Both. They both agree on?
It's amazing the shit. And infrastructure. They'll always agree on infrastructure. You know why? You get to print money and spend it. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Democrats and Republicans tend to agree when there's an opportunity to print more money and spend more money.
Yeah.
Tax it, spend it.
Do you think about Democrats as far as their economic theories?
I mean, I think it's asinine. I mean, we kind of talked about the socialism. I don't really think there's much of an economic theory there.
Well,
I think that it's mostly centered around getting votes, promising people, telling people that rich people are evil.
Do they not understand inflation?
Oh, they understand inflation.
They understand inflation.
Yeah, the people that are pushing the print button absolutely know what they're doing.
But the voters themselves don't understand what causes inflation, maybe?
Either they don't understand it. A lot of them don't understand it, and a lot of them don't care as long as... Because people are short-sighted.
Okay.
If they get money in their pockets now, who cares if it's worth less next year, as long as they can get some money right now.
Well, liberal economics, neoliberal economics, mm-hmm. literally has a name. And it was named after an economist named Keynes.
Yep.
It's Keynesian economic theory.
Yep.
And Keynesian economic theory essentially states that when things are good, you stop spending.
Mm-hmm.
And when things are bad, you spend as much as possible.
Yep.
You inject money. And so you're always injecting money at the lows, mm-hmm. and you're bringing it back at, yep. at the peaks.
Yep.
Which is a retarded
way of handling economics. I disagree with it, but it almost seems like they don't ever stop injecting anymore.
Right. Why won't they stop injecting anymore? Is it literally to collapse the dollar on purpose? Or is it just because they don't understand?
I think they're just... I don't know. It's like a crack pipe. They just keep hitting and they can't stop.
They're addicted.
Like, yeah, at this point, like they you push print, the money comes out. Like if I had a money machine, I'd keep printing it.
Not if I cared about my grandchildren.
No. Yeah, but my point is that if you had a money machine sitting right here, right now, and you could just print out $100,000, I would.
Sure.
I'm glad I don't have one.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But, it's a drug. It's a drug.
I would love an infinite money glitch. I really would.
They can print it. They can spend it. They can give it to their voters.
Right. It's a way of buying votes.
They can send it to Ukraine and claim that we must stand behind Ukraine, sure. at all costs.
Yeah.
Even though they won't stand behind Israel at all, which is a totally different conversation.
Maybe the ruling class of the Democrat Party doesn't care if things collapse, because it accelerates
at.
Their consolidation of power.
That's exactly what I'm getting at, because communism is a violent and chaotic process. And yes, I really believe that they want the system to collapse. The sooner they can get the Constitution out of the way, the better.
Yeah.
Communism is a global philosophy. I feel like this is almost devolved into a communism episode, which isn't a bad thing.
I think it's the same thing.
Yeah, because I think the Democrat Party is devolving into a communist party.
Right.
But communism is a global philosophy. It always has been. It's not a nationalist philosophy.
Okay.
So to them, being American, uh-huh. the American system, the American Constitution does not matter. What matters is communism.
Right.
Socialism, collectivism.
Right.
It's... whatever they've got to do to get there, they'll do. And
right.
to them, burning our Constitution means it is absolutely nothing.
Right.
They'll do it without a second thought.
Think about what's been going on for over 10 years now, where they went after the Dukes of Hazzard because I had the general, the general, yeah. had the Confederate flag on, mm-hmm. it, tearing down statues.
Yeah.
Statues
are a different debate.
teaching, but what they're doing is they're essentially teaching the new generation of children that the inception of this nation, the people who birthed this nation, were so flawed that everything that evolves from it is also flawed, and it has to be torn back down and rebuilt as a pure structure.
Yeah.
That's why... you hear the founding fathers were racists and slave owners.
And they were.
But
that doesn't mean that everything they did is moot.
Exactly. Yeah. They also created the freest nation in the history of the world to that point. All right. And we did fight a civil war to end slavery.
Yeah.
Over economic reasons.
Yeah.
We have atoned for a lot of these sins as a peoples, because
600,000 dead in 19 or 18.
There was a lot of blood spilled to fix these things.
Yeah, sure.
But the argument is you can't listen to anything these original people were saying because they were impure and wrong.
And my opinion,
we must tear it back down and rebuild it right.
My opinion is the only reason they say that has got nothing to do with the fact that they were racist or slave owners. It only has to do with the fact that they don't want you to listen to the things that they were saying. Those people created a document that gets in their way, so they're using...
Exactly. They're trying to invalidate everything that keeps us a free people.
Yep.
And the ideas of those imperfect slave owners did make us a free people.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want that. So you have to invalidate the whole thing to get rid of it.
Yep.
You have to throw that baby out with all the bathwater.
And just as a point, we talked about tearing down statues. I'm actually in favor of tearing down, Robert E. Lee statues. I'm fine with it.
Okay.
He wasn't a founding father. I'm not in favor of tearing down Thomas Jefferson or George Washington statues.
Right.
Like, these were men who founded this country.
Right.
in my opinion, Robert E. Lee was a man who rebelled against it. You know, take that for what it's worth.
Listen, I don't mind that. I'll tell you what, I don't mind the idea of rebelling against it, too. I think that's necessary part of things.
Yeah, I'm not saying
I believe in states' rights. And essentially, it was a states' rights issue.
It was an issue of whether states have the right to tell their citizens that they can own other people, which they don't.
Understandable. Totally. However, they did want to create their own nation, mm-hmm. break away. And
a nation that had had a very similar constitution to the one we have, except it guaranteed the right to own slaves.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, which... And there's no debate here. No debate here over whether slavery is wrong or not, of course.
Back then, they knew that it was wrong, too.
They knew it was wrong in 1776.
But economics...
Thomas Jefferson knew it was wrong. George Washington knew it was wrong, long before
the economics of that time were no different than the economics of this time.
And we
do a lot of things wrong in this mm-hmm. time, too, for economics. Think about the manipulation. Absolutely. Think about the propaganda we put our people through.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, in this very time, over the name of economics.
Yep.
You know, for how many people, I think it was millions of people died because they wouldn't take lead out of gasoline.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay?
Yeah.
The retarded number of people, excuse my word, retarded, I know that's not a great word to use. I'm not a big fan of using it either. The ridiculous number of people who died mm-hmm. because of the inhalation of fumes from leaded yep. gasoline over all those years, the birth defects, mm-hmm. all the things that came from that, was probably just as bad as slavery.
If you're talking about number of deaths, I don't know. I mean,
if you're talking about the ends justifying the means, mm-hmm. then it was just as bad as slavery, if you look at it that way, from a non-moralistic standpoint.
Yeah.
So economics dictates. It doesn't matter whether it's 1776 or 1976. And that's really what it comes down to, is always about the almighty dollar.
It is. It's also about politics, too.
But even then, we knew this. I think the reason we were going through that period of time was, I think some people realized that slavery was coming to an end eventually. Especially, I mean, it wasn't long after the war.
They expected it to die quickly.
The cotton gin was right on the precipice of being invented.
That kind of fucked everything up.
And that would have probably put an economic necessity for slavery.
That revived it. Yeah.
That revived, yeah.
Yeah. But you know, it's funny since we're talking about Democrats and Republicans here,
mm-hmm.
you know, everybody who knows anything about history knows this. The Democrats were the Southern party of slavery. The Republicans were the party of Lincoln,
mm-hmm.
the abolition party. You know, the Democrats were the party of Jim Crow.
Sure.
The Republicans were not.
They all voted against the Civil Rights Act in 1964. Yeah, it was the Democrats across the board.
These were all Biden's. Biden claims to have started the civil rights movement, but Biden's been rubbing elbows with white supremacists his entire life.
Well,
while he claims that Trump is a white supremacist.
West Virginia, Byrd mm-hmm. was like the grand dragon of the KKK.
Yes, he was, yeah.
Lyndon Johnson himself said, "I will keep those N-words voting Democrat for 1,000 years.
Yep. Strom Thurmond was a good buddy of... Strom Thurmond famously was the one that filibustered the Civil Rights Act.
Mm-hmm.
And these are all of Biden's old buddies.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, they tell you in school that in the '60s the Democrats just magically passed the torch of racism over to the Republicans.
Right.
They were like, "Here you go, you guys are the racists now." And the Republicans were like, "Oh, okay." And that's
not how it went.
No, that's ridiculous. The Democrat Party holds minorities down right now and has been for a long time by telling them that they're victims,
mm-hmm.
printing money and then giving it to them, and it does nothing but keep them in poverty.
Right.
And I'm not saying that the majority of Democrat voters, a lot of these Democratic voters are minorities, but those policies are doing nothing. They're not lifting anybody up. They're not helping anybody achieve the American dream, and it's sad. And I do think a lot of people are waking up to that fact. I really do.
I believe so, too. I believe that things tend to work really great when you first institute them,
mm-hmm.
but there's a law of diminishing gains.
Yeah.
And the longer the ruse goes on, the more people catch on.
Mm-hmm.
The diminishing gains start to slip in, and you start seeing it all. The game that used to work erodes away, and it doesn't quite work the same way it used to anymore. And that's true for anything. So we're definitely in a situation where it's a transition period for us. And we don't know how it's going to go politically over the next number of months. And I think the reason this election is the most important election of all time, and it always is the most important election of all time.
It really is.
But that's only because the amount of power of government has consistently grown across a period of time.
Yeah.
And whoever gets to wield that power becomes more and more important. That's why every successive election is the most important election of all time.
And whoever wields the power can consolidate more of it for the next one.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's why each successive election is the most important election of all time, is because the power gained by winning that election has consistently got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger as time goes. If there was no power in politics, you'd have a totally different type of people in politics.
Yeah. It wouldn't be politics, would it?
It wouldn't be the politics that we know of.
Yeah.
It would be a public service.
Yeah,
that's which is what it was designed to be. Which is what it was designed to be.
You know that the founders never believed in running for office?
Okay.
None of them, like George Washington, showed up and said, "I don't want the job." And that was normal back then. Like,
right.
If you said you wanted the job, like, they wouldn't give it to you.
Yeah, right. The person who wants power shouldn't be the person wielding
power. Now we got political action committees with millions and millions and millions of
Absolutely.
Dollars.
Absolutely. And we just accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And please, you know, we've been railing on Democrats and liberals, but we're going to do just as much to the Republicans, I promise
you. I'm looking forward to it, actually.
But, yeah, I mean, I guess...
I will say, we're going to rail on Republicans, and I personally have a lot of issues with Republicans and the Republican Party.
Sure.
But the Democrat Party is, in my opinion, the largest threat to our society.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Russia. It's not Hamas. It's not Donald Trump. It's not...
aliens.
You know, it's not fundamentalist Christians.
It's not AI.
Aliens. No.
I think it's aliens, personally.
It's the Democrat Party. Oh, man. It could be aliens.
I think it's aliens.
It's probably the Democrat Party. So, therefore, like Ben said, we're going to do an episode railing Republicans. That's going to be fun because they're far from ideal, but I'm going to...
I think the same thing.
I'm going to vote for Donald Trump. Ben's not going to vote. He never... Well, I don't want to speak for you. Ben, are you going to vote?
Maybe I will.
Maybe Ben will vote.
Maybe I will. Maybe I won't.
I'm going to vote for Donald Trump.
I'd rather convince you to vote.
I'm going to vote for Russell Fry. I'm going to vote for Tim Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck Lindsey Graham. I'm never casting a vote for Lindsey Graham again, mm-hmm. but...
I'm just writing Ron Paul in.
Yeah.
I'm writing Ron Paul in for the rest of my life.
Do it.
Even after he's gone.
But...
You ever hear that story about the brothel owner in Las Vegas?
No.
No, okay. So this man who... there was a show in the 90s on HBO called The Cat House.
Uh-huh.
And this man, as the owner of The Cat House, which is a brothel in... I don't think it was in Vegas. It might have been in Reno, because Vegas prostitution actually isn't legal.
Mm-hmm.
But this man, he decided to run as a libertarian in 2016, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was 2016, because he had gained some notoriety from this television show. Everybody knew who he was.
Yeah.
He ran as a libertarian, because he's a brothel owner, of course, my kind of guy. So, a couple weeks before the election, he dies. He still won.
That's crazy.
He's the only libertarian that's ever won, and he died before he got there.
Poor bastard.
I don't know why I went off on that rant, but I thought that was interesting.
That's typical for the libertarians.
For the libertarians. Oh,
totally.
You know what? Let's rant on the libertarians real quick, because there's a lot of problems with the libertarians, too. All
right? There is.
And I'll tell you what that problem with the libertarians is. Is they don't care about playing politics at all.
Mm-hmm.
And they like to fight with each other more than they like to fight against their enemies.
It's in their nature.
It's in their nature to continually go inside yourself and keep shit testing yourself.
Yeah, that's why they're not going to win.
They'll never win.
No.
Never. They'll never play politics because they're
not
politicians.
And I've never been a big L libertarian. I've always been a small L libertarian.
Yep.
I've never been a member of the Libertarian Party. I've never voted for a libertarian candidate.
Really?
Never voted for a libertarian candidate.
The smart libertarians register Republican.
Yeah.
you know, your Thomas Massey's of the world, your Rand Paul's, your Ron Paul's.
South Carolina, we don't register for a party, but I vote Republican or I don't. Generally, I vote Republican or I leave the ballot. I do leave slots blank all the time.
If there's no good choice. I don't want
to vote for either one. But
is it, you know, people have been so convinced that you got to take the lesser of two evils. Because nobody's, I think the average person isn't even content with anybody on the ballot most of the time.
Yeah.
You know, unless it's Trump, and then people love Trump.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But like, people have been convinced for as long as I've been alive to just take the lesser of two evils. Yeah. Isn't it still evil? Are you still choosing a shit sandwich?
What did the South Park do? A shit sandwich versus a giant douche.
Yeah. Exactly. Aren't you still choosing the wrong? Why supporting that system, which is why I don't vote?
It's the system we got, man.
I'm enabling it if I do.
It's the system we got, buddy.
It's the right, but I'm enabling a bad system.
And I respect that.
If we didn't enable it anymore, it would cease to exist.
I respect that, but any system's a bad system. They're all bad systems. Systems are bad.
Okay.
Political systems are bad. There's no good. Democracy's bad. Totalitarianism's bad. Communism's bad. Monarchy's
all
bad.
All group think.
Yeah.
All group.
Yeah, we all have to band together and govern ourselves somehow. So
the famous psychiatrist C.J. Jung made a. I'm just paraphrasing here, but he made a observation one time that. If you have one person, they can be brilliant. If you have one person in a room, they can absolutely be brilliant and do amazing things. If you get two people having a conversation, they can have a really high-level conversation together. But what happens is you get that third person in the conversation, and I don't know if you've ever noticed, but it tends to sink a little bit. You can't continually talk about the same concepts on a high level anymore.
I haven't noticed that, but I'm going to look for it.
And then C.J. Jung said, as the dinner party grows, the more people that are in the room, the lower the IQ level of the conversations become, because it's always about the weakest link.
Yeah.
Right? And then the larger the group grows, it becomes a giant dumb organism. And this is the most famous psychiatrist of all time, maybe. You know, Freud and Jung, right? This is real.
Yeah.
The bigger the group, the bigger the group think, the dumber the organism becomes.
And that explains why the federal government's worse than the state government, which is worse than the local government.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it also explains why you're way more likely to be saved in a life and death situation by one person than you are by a group of 10 people.
Who are all on their phones, looking at each other. Oh my God, what do we do?
Yeah. Waiting for the next guy to do it.
So. Right, waiting for the next guy to do it.
Yep. Yeah, groups are generally not good, but... You know, we're social animals, so here we are.
That's exactly it. We're trying to balance. And that's a great point.
So we got
to
do something.
We are social animals. That's the thing.
Yeah, and that's why I guess now that we've come to bring it full circle, that's why I reluctantly participate in the process and vote for the lesser of two evils. We're going to have a system.
I understand where you're coming from.
And I understand where you're coming from. I totally respect you not wanting to participate in it, too.
Maybe I'm too much of an idealist than a realist, but
libertarians tend to be idealists. I think.
I guess so. Maybe.
I've always tried to combine my idealism and realism, and.
But you're self-aware of it, though.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I think about it a lot too. I know when I'm voting for somebody I don't really like.
Right.
I know I'm doing it.
It doesn't feel good, does it?
Yeah, I don't just go in there and go straight Republican, pull the lever, and
I know that's not good either.
No, it's definitely not. Like, but
well,
yeah, this is where we find ourselves.
I think we're nearing the end of our time here, my friend.
Yeah, didn't even have a break tonight. We just ran it for the full.
Ran it through, baby.
Hope you guys enjoyed it. We're gonna come back eventually with a.
Eventually, heck, we're gonna. The episode that comes out after this one is gonna be.
We're going to rail Republicans.
Yep.
Tear like them to pieces.
Yep. We're going to tear them to pieces.
And tell you why they suck too.
Do with just as much vitriol.
Almost as much vitriol.
I have just as much vitriol. I know exactly what angle I'm coming from on that one.
I'm looking forward to that.
So thank you guys. Thanks for watching. And we appreciate your support. Thank you. Like and subscribe.